Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Would you do that? You can be seated. A little song I wrote here. Never thought I'd see the day they shut our churches down. Politicians lying town after town. Altars are empty and our prisons full today. Enough is enough. We can't go on this way. We need a move of God. Need a Holy Ghost revival. Need to get back to the Bible. Remember what we forgot. We need a move of God. Start living like the chosen. Start blessing and start sowing. Take back what the devil's stolen. We need a move of God. When I think of how it used to be and how it is right now, we used to shout and testify, sing the glory down. Souls crying at the altar, repenting of their sin. I think we need to get back to what we had back then. We need a move of God. We need a Holy Ghost revival. Need to get back to the Bible. Remember what we forgot. We need a move of God. Start living like the chosen. Start blessing and start sowing. Take back what the devil's stolen. We need a move of God. From the White House to the church house. From the pulpit to the pew. We need a move of God. And it starts with me and you. Lord, Lord. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will hear from heaven. I will reach down. I will heal their land. What I did in Ezekiel's graveyard, I can do in the church today. Can I get an amen? Need a Holy Ghost revival. Need to get back to the Bible. Remember what we forgot. We need a move of God. Start living like the chosen. Start blessing and start sowing. Take back what the devil's stolen. We need a move of God. We need a move of God. If you believe that, say amen. Clap your hands, all you people. Boy, I hope I live long enough to live up to some of the introductions that I'm given. Brother Shane, I've known Brother Shane since he was a teenager. I've known Brother Adam since he was a teenager. And man, you are so blessed to have one of the greatest preachers in America as your pastor. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on. Yeah. And one of the greatest worship leaders and preachers. Man, I was really blessed by the worship today. Traveling as I do, I just came in from Fort Smith, Arkansas yesterday and got some clean clothes and came here today. And then in the morning, I've got to go to Branson, Missouri for a three-day crusade there. And I go to churches where there's just one old woman on the organ. And she's been there 30 years. And she's like a rattlesnake with a toothache. And they've been praying she would die so they could have worship. And she's outlived everybody. So, boy, when I come into a church that's got great worship like you have here, I just really get into it. And, man, don't ever take that for granted. That is so wonderful. We've already had one service this morning. And Brother Shane works you hard when you come here. And I am so honored to be with you. I've met some great people like Brother Steve and Brother Steve and I talked all this year. We've been putting Bibles into Pakistan. God put that in my heart first part of this year. We put thousands of Bibles into the hands of people, many who have never held a Bible in their life. But I just believe if we can get the Word of God in people's hands, the Word of God will change people.
Boy, y'all gonna have to come on now. That first crowd doing a lot better. No, I'm just kidding. But I am so honored to be here. I remember in 1 year in music, they gave me the Living Legend Award and the Hall of Fame Award. And I thought, they're trying to get rid of me. They think I'm too old to do this anymore, so they're trying to retire me. And I thought about that this morning when Brother Shane introduced me as a legend. You know, I was just a hopeless drug addict and drunk when Jesus found me in a hospital room. Born in a family of 9 children, I was the 8th. We were so poor that the rainbow in our neighborhood was black and white. And Jesus found me in a hospital room when they pronounced me dead, pulled the sheet up over my body. Jesus pulled the sheet back, touched me on my right foot, and said, I'm going to raise you up and you're going to carry the gospel around the world. I got a letter this week from Brother David Cirillo on Inspiration Television. He tells me that our programming there at Inspiration has been responsible for 4.8 million people getting saved this year through text, internet, phone. And so that's not all the world, but it's a big part of it. And so Jesus has let me live long enough to see what he said to me begin to come to pass. I have about almost 3,000 copyrights as a songwriter. I've had 86 number one songs in Southern gospel, Christian country, and country. Some country artists have recorded my songs and they went to number one. And I praise God that he found somebody that had nothing to offer. And he saved me and filled me with his spirit. And he's used me over the years. And I'm very grateful for that. I thank God for everything that he's done in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, would it be okay if I moved the pulpit here? Now, I'll tell you why. I pastored for about 11 years one time. And the pastoral anointing is up here. And I don't want it on me. And let me tell you why. I was not a good pastor. I was a successful pastor in the eyes of people, but I wasn't a good pastor. I kept a list of people in my church I was going to kill if I ever backslid. Brother Steve's got his right here. No, I enjoyed my years as a pastor, but 35 years ago, God called me into evangelism, and we've been traveling around the world. I'll be in Nigeria when you're building the church up in Kenya. I'll be there, a little struggling church down in Lagos, runs 62,000. Yeah. The last time I was there was 2019, and we started service one night, and it was over at 5 o'clock the next morning. Those people know how to have church. That church that Pastor Steve is building, we've helped build about 151 of those over the years in that Nairobi, Kenya area. We've got an orphanage there now in that part of the country. We've got a mobile medical unit there that travels around and ministers to people that can't get medical care. So God's just doing good things. I preached a message in the early service. I intended to preach in this service. But the Lord changed my mind. And he may have changed my mind just for one or two people. I don't know. But I want to tell you a personal story before I read my text. My text is in 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, and it's an excerpt from the life of David. December the 11th, 2013, my world stopped turning. My wife of 47 years went to heaven with me holding her hand, quoting the 23rd Psalm. We battled a sickness for 4 years and did everything we could to do, fasted, prayed, believed God, and one day God said, her mission is complete and yours is not. And it was the darkest time of my life because I didn't think I could go on. She had been with me every step of the way in ministry, and now she's gone. And I was out walking, and as I was walking, I was crying. And the Lord began to talk to me, and he said, it's time to dry your tears, because if you don't, your tears are going to wash away your faith. And then he said, there's still enough in the ashes of adversity to fulfill your destiny. And he reminded me of a humorous story that happened when Ruby and I first got saved. And you got to remember now, we were raised real poor and with no culture at all. And after we got saved, I felt like we needed some culture. And we lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and they had a theater there called the Tivoli Theater, and they would bring Broadway plays there. And they were bringing this Broadway play, so we saved up our money, and we're going to go and get some culture, Miss Pam. And the play started, and the curtain came up, and the music played, and the actors walked out, and now, you got to understand, this was a day when you had three channels on television. I grew up with Leave It to Beaver, Andy Griffith, and I Love Lucy. You see. And I thought many times how that would be different in today's culture. You know, just, you know, Leave It to Beaver. I'm sure Wally would be strung out on drugs. June and Ward would be divorced. And Beaver would be dating Eddie Haskell. In this culture. You understand? And so, to go to a play like this was just phenomenal. And I'm on the edge of my seat. And all of a sudden, the lights come up, the music stops, the curtain comes down right in the middle. And I look at Ruby and I say, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. So we get up to leave. We get out in the lobby and there's an usher. And he says, you're not leaving, are you? I said, well, yeah. He said, it's just intermission. So that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. It's just intermission. It's not conclusion. It's just intermission. Whatever's happening in your life right now, have you ever felt like God just pushed the pause button on your life? And no matter how you prayed or what you did, it just seemed like nothing was happening at that moment. Am I talking to anybody? Did I change this message just for me? Am I talking to anyone right now that knows what I'm talking about? I mean, pandemic came. God pushed the pause button. But I come to tell you this morning, intermission is over. Intermission is over. God is moving and going to move greater in your life. Intermission is over. We came back into the theater, sat down. All of a sudden, the music changed. The curtain came up. The actors came out. And man, this was the best part. Here in 1 Samuel, David has been anointed to be king. And from the time he was anointed to be king, the other king wanted to kill him. Have you lived long enough as a Christian to realize there's a lot of people don't like you? Because you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, it irritates them. And the more the Holy Ghost moves in you, the more irritated they become. And the devil will tell you that you didn't have all these problems before you served God. But listen, you did have worse problems than after you served God. The devil is a liar. He's never going to tell you the truth. John 8:44 said he's been a liar from the beginning. He's not your friend. He wants to stop you from what God has for you. So don't determine that intermission is conclusion. Look at somebody and say, God's not finished with you. It's just intermission. What hell thought would bury you, God will use to bless you. What the devil thought would eliminate you, God will use to elevate you. Come on. What the devil intended to be an incinerator, God will turn into an incubator. Come on. God will birth something out of your mess. God will reach right in the middle of your mess, turn it inside out, and make a miracle out of it. It's not over. It's just intermission. All hell can hate you. All hell can come against you. But God is for you, and it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. David, in 1 Samuel 22, it says, David departed hence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. That sounds like something you would enjoy. But when I'm going through hell, the last people I want to see is my family. Maybe your family's not like mine. My family, when I first got saved, went in the ministry, here's what they said, you're just in it for the money. I said, why don't you get in it? I've had love offerings that were a whole lot more love than there were offerings. I've had pastors say, I wish I could do better. I said, I wish you could too. And said, all his kinfolks come down. Oh, Uncle Joe that upsets every family reunion, he's there in the cave. Everybody's got one in the family. You're thinking about them right now. I'm sorry that I reminded you of them. Now watch this. Not just his family, listen. Everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented. I've been to this church. Brother Adam, I've preached to this cave church here. Man, you have altar service to pray for people, and you're depressed by the time you leave just hearing what they're going through. Distress, discontented. But isn't that what church is for? Isn't that what we're here for? To draw those that are distressed, those that are discontented. Come on. Amen. I like to have a few people that's got it together, but the Lord wants us who's got it together to get those that don't have it together and bring them together so he can change them, because the truth of the matter is, you used to be that person. I said, don't forget where you came from. You used to be that person discontented. You used to be that person in debt. You used to be that person, that distressed person. And this is what David had. And so the third verse says, David went to Mizpah, to Moab, and said to the king of Moab, I can understand this. Both my mother and father are deceased, but I can understand this. He said to the king, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come and be with you until I know what God will do for me. How many of you caught that? As long as mom and dad's alive, they feel like they know what's best for you. Oh, I must be talking to myself. Come on. Amen. I'm glad that my mom and dad weren't Christians when I got saved, because I didn't have to have them order my ministry. Now, I'm getting to my text here. The next verse, verse 4. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. That word hold there is where we get our word intermission. David was in intermission. He was between the anointing and the call and the ministry. He was between the promise and the manifestation. He was between what God said was going to happen and what is happening. So he's in intermission. Now you're going to like this. Remember me telling you I needed some culture? Wikipedia says. They defined intermission as this: a recess between parts of a performance or production. Intermission is a period in which the action does not stop, but in fact continues off stage. You know what that means? Is intermission is when the curtain comes down, they're changing the set. And the actors are off here rehearsing their lines. They're getting ready for the conclusion. You see, in this hour when people are home because they got used to being at home in their pajamas watching television instead of coming to the house of God, in this pause, what's happening? God is setting the stage for the conclusion. He's setting the stage for the final act of this thing. He's setting the stage for when the glory is poured out. I prophesy to you this morning, when you move to that new property, the glory of God is going to be there when you get there. I prophesy that you won't be able to build a building fast enough for people that want to come where the glory of God and the presence of God and the power of God and the worship of God and the preaching of God is. Halaboshata, alarondama, akatadabro, itasheba, onamahashata, alabrasataba, ishera, runsebara, nandarabahai. Get ready, church. Get ready, church. See, David is in whole now, but very soon he's going to be on the throne. Very soon he's going to go get the ark and bring it back. Come on, very soon he's going to restore the glory of God. What you don't realize is why you sit here this morning. God is working behind the scenes. God is setting the stage for the next phase of your life, for the next chapter of your life. I don't know why God changed my message, but he did. Tell somebody, it's just intermission. It's just intermission. You know, things can change overnight. Things can change overnight. Man, one morning I'm feeding my precious wife her breakfast. The next morning I'm eating alone. You know, anybody can serve God on a mountaintop full of daisies with the birds singing. When you're in the valley and all hell screaming for you to quit, you got to dig down deep and realize you were put on this planet for a purpose. I'm going to tell you something. You were made for this moment. No matter what you've been through, you were made for this moment. This moment is a collage of all the moments you've ever walked through. Every mountain you've ever climbed, every river you've ever crossed, every devil you ever fought, every battle you've ever won, you are made for this moment. God made you for this moment. There's nothing that's going to happen that's not going to be able to be handled, because you see, you were made for this moment. What you walked through was to bring you to this place. This is your moment. God is pushing the pause button off. Intermission is over. The curtain is rising. The music's changing. God is getting ready for the conclusion in your life. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you. Glory to God. Spirit of God. And I want to leave you with three things this morning. Number one, it's not over. It's not over. You know, after 3 years of being alone, I found that it's not good for man to be alone. So I started praying for a wife. I thought the church would be happy, but they weren't. You know, some church people have a complex. They're miserable, so they want you to be miserable. And I figured if I was going to get married again, I wanted a young, pretty, rich woman. Now, the problem with that is a lot of the church wanted me to have an old, ugly, broke woman. I'm just being real with you. You know, don't expect the church, you know, when God blesses you and you're a multimillionaire, don't expect some of the church to be excited about it like you are. Come on. And God brought a woman in my life. She would be here this morning, but she is working at our church. See, I don't pastor, but, you know, we help out. Every year this time, we're working with the church because we buy coats and hats and gloves and toys for every foster child in our county. We've done it for several years now, and she buys all that. And I look at the account and pray. But the Lord brought me a wife who's 19 years younger than me. I like to look at her. I mean, I just like to look at her. You know, at my age, that's a thrill. You just don't, it's about all you can do at my age, but I just like to look at her. You know, I'm just being real to you. But you see, what I'm telling you is I went from the cave. I went from thinking it was over. I went from thinking that my best part of my life was behind me because I lost something precious. But let me tell you, I'm going to go home this afternoon to something precious that God brought in my life because it wasn't over. God had somebody else to help me. God had somebody else. Amen. God had somebody else that would be so everything I needed. Like I said, a lot of the church people weren't happy about it. But you go insane trying to please church people. Whoever runs the sound here knows that. It's too loud. It ain't loud enough. It's cold. It ain't cold enough. I mean, church people, they wake up in a different world every Sunday. That's the reason I'm not pastor. Come on. I used to get my arm around them, walk them to the back door when they tell me it's too loud. And I walk them out on the porch. I say, you ain't never going to be happy here. Amen. We ain't going to turn it down for you, so you might as well go on down the road to the quiet church. Come on. We're not going to stop shouting just because of you. We're not going to stop letting the Holy Ghost move just because of you. Amen. We're going to have church, and if you want to have church, come on over here. But if you don't want church, somewhere here. Come on. Come on. You better watch it. You better watch it. We got to get out at 12:30. Not 1:30. It had nothing to do with your time. My time. It ain't over. How many of you had situations in your life when it looked like it was over? The doctor tells you, you can't live. You know, they told me that 36 years ago, said you got a year to live. I didn't believe them. So I'm still alive. My doctor's dead, but I'm still alive. Hallelujah. Come on, the man told me that's dead, but I'm alive. It ain't over. It ain't over till God tells you it's over. It ain't over till God tells you it's over. Listen, we live in a day and hour when you got to reach down deep and you got to fight like the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark and it's beginning to rain. Come on. You hear what I said? You got to fight like the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark and it's beginning to rain. You got to rise up, bow your back, look the devil in the eye, say, I know who I am. I'm a child of the Most High God. I know I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm more than a conqueror. My God, you got to fight. You got to, it ain't over. It ain't over. You know, there's nothing worse than when the fellowship that you've been in all your life gives you the left foot. Because you no longer agree with the segregation between their denomination and the world. I had to face that in my life. I had to turn my back on the movement that I was ordained in because God was calling me to the world. And every time I went to preach in a non-so-and-so church, I'm not going to, I almost said that. When I went to preach in a church that didn't have their name on it, they pressed charges against me. Finally, I walked in and handed them the credentials. I said, listen, I'm not going to listen to this any longer. God called me to preach to the world. I'm going to the Baptist. I'm going to the Catholic. I'm going to the Methodist. I'm going to the Presbyterian. I'm going to preach to everybody, everywhere. It ain't over. Here's what they told me. Here's what they told me 35 years ago. You will never amount to anything without us. The man that told me that is dead. And I'm still mounting to something. See, just because somebody prophesies your doom and your destruction and your failure don't mean you have to give in to it and listen to them. It just proves to me God's getting ready to do something and the devil's trying to destroy it and delay it. But it ain't over. It's just intermission. I come to tell you today, intermission is over in your life. That thing God said he's going to do, God's going to do. That thing God said he was going to bring, God's going to bring. I'm telling you, intermission is over. The second thing I want to leave you with, things change. But God's plan remains the same. Come on. Things change. Just had a flashback there for a moment. Things change in your life. You know, one Sunday I'm preaching to 1,200 people and they're parking my car. Next Sunday, I'm preaching in storefront with 30 people, and I'm parking my own car. That's 35 years ago. But God had to get me out from where I was to take me where he wanted me to be. So he wanted me to reach the world. Things change, but God's plan remains the same. All right? Now, the third thing. The best is yet to come. Oh, you didn't get that. Some of you, you're going through some things. It's hard for you to believe. But you know something? You always go through things to get to things. And the more difficult what you're going through is, the more precious what you're going to is. So you just gotta grow up. And keep moving, knowing that the best is yet to come. I couldn't see that 9 years ago. In the middle of being alone, I couldn't believe that the best was yet to come. But everything God said he would do in my life, he's done in these last 9 years. Doors have opened for me in the last 9 years that never opened to me before. The best is yet to come. God's not finished with you. God's not finished with the church. God's not finished with America. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Are you here? Don't give up on America. God hadn't given up on America. Don't give up on the church. God hadn't given up on the church. And bless your heart, don't give up on you. God hadn't given up on you. You're here this morning in his house. best is yet to come. I believe the best is yet to come for the bend. I know it's good now, but can you imagine how good it's going to be when you got room to shout? Come on, when you got room to shout. Hallelujah. The pastor shared with me that we're going to go look at the property this afternoon. I've seen it on video, but I want to see it firsthand. I want to walk on it. I want to pray over it. Amen. Because God has supernaturally moved for this church in such a short period of time. You know, they ought to record the bend in the 30th chapter of Acts. The miracles that God has done here just in a short period of time. You know why? God's got the right man in the right place at the right time. He's got the right people with the man in the right place at the right time. Because God wants to shake Cookeville, amen, have it spread over to Crossville, spread down to Nashville. God wants to everybody to know what we know this morning, that God is the answer for a bad marriage. God is the answer. God is the answer. The best is yet to come. It's just intermission. It's just a short pause before the conclusion. If some of you knew this morning what was taking place back behind the curtain of your life, if you just knew what God was planning, see, it's not going to be long till David's enemy is going to be dead. And David is going to be king. You know, before you get back to church next Sunday, God could do the greatest thing he's ever done in your life. The devil's trying to make people believe that the best is behind us. The devil is a liar. God's not coming back over after anything less than he left on this earth. He didn't leave a dead, dry, lazy, lukewarm, narrow-minded church. He left a fire-breathing, apathy-hating, devil-chasing, sick-healing, soul-saving church. He's coming back after a fired-up, true blue, amen, church of the living God. I tell you, we're going to be kicking his teeth out on the way out. Glory to God. We're going to be tormenting him on the way out. He can't do anything as long as we're here. Come on. The Holy Ghost on this earth is lifting up a restraint against the devil. The best is yet to come. Oh, Brother Payne, don't you know who's in Washington? Yes, I do. God is in Washington. Hallelujah. God is in Washington. Don't you know what's going on? Yes, God is going on. God can turn kings. God can change things overnight. Come on, the best is yet to come for America. The best is yet to come for the church, and the best is yet to come for you. Some of you need to get a hold of that this morning. Hell has beat you down. He's The truth of the matter is, some of you wouldn't have come to church this morning except you just felt obligated. How do you know that? Because I go all the time when I don't feel like going. It got nothing to do with feeling. It's got to do with covenant. It's got to do with commitment. It's got to do with who I am and who God is and what I believe. Come on. Amen. In the month of July, I was so glad July was over. I went up to Pastor Rod Parsley's and he asked me to take the offering. And 2 months before, God told me if he asked me to take the offering, I was to give the first $10,000. How many of you know it's hard to be a cheerful giver when you give $10,000? Cheerful givers ain't never give enough. I'm convinced of that. And I'm saying this for the benefit of a lot of you who God wants to really prosper. When you get out to the property, you'll come in and the Lord will speak to you. Don't be afraid to obey God. Are you listening to me? Don't be afraid, because the best is yet to come. I went from Brother Rod's down to another church, and it was about 8 or 10 churches came together, and the pastor said on the Thursday night, he said, the offering is going to be for you tonight. And I was thrilled, you know. And then as soon as he said that, the Lord said, tell him no, let you take the offering and give it to the church as your seed. And I was really excited about that until $52,000 came in. Hello, are you still out there? But it was just intermission. And then I went to the next crusade. And the Lord told me to give the offering back there. And then I went back to my office and he reminded me of a pastor who was having financial problems. And I was going to send him $1,000. He said, make it $2,500. I said, Lord, you got anybody else you're talking to this month? Is it just me? But what I didn't realize is just right down the road, God wanted to give me 5 times more than I was sowing. Just in a few weeks, he wanted to turn things around in my life. You understand? So you got to believe when God's asking you and God's prompting you, then you got to know that God is planning something better than you've ever seen before. Trust God. Come on, trust God. You trust God and you'll see what God's going to do. David could have killed Saul himself. Sometimes you just got to let God take care of your enemies. Come on. Well, it's 12:30. I got to quit preaching. I ain't got nothing to do with you. It's got to do with me. I got things to do. But say this with me and get it in your spirit. It's just intermission. Can I just take a poll real quick? How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? You've been going through some things. It just feels like things are on hold. Maybe in your business, your personal life, in your marriage, in your family. Just feels like it's on hold. Well, the best is yet to come. It ain't over. Things change, but God's plan is the same. It's just intermission. And God changed my message this morning just for you. He changed it just for you. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? Amen. Could we move this back to the podium here? Ah, Lord, I felt the Holy Ghost from the first song this morning, Adam. I felt the Holy Ghost in this house from the very first song we sung about 9 o'clock this morning. And I still feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. And I want to step up here where I can see you. And I want to ask you this question. If the Lord came today, or God forbid you didn't make it back to church next Sunday, is everything all right between you and the Lord? Because sometimes when things are on pause and you're praying and nothing's happening, it's easy just to get discouraged and think, well, Lord, do you really love me? Lord, do you really care for me? And I've been there, and I know how it is. I've been to services where I just went trying to get a word from God. They had a prophet, and I figured this prophet would have a word for me. And he'd look at me like this, Miss Liz, and he'd walk right toward me, and then he'd say, thus saith the Lord. You know, he'd go to the person next to me. You know what I mean? And that may be you this morning. And just by an uplifted hand, Brother Payne, I've let things get between me and the Lord, but I want to make it right this morning. Would you pray for me? Or you've never accepted Jesus, whether you're watching online or you're in this service, just by an uplifted hand. I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come. I just want to pray with you where you are. Over here on the right, those two way back in the back. I see your hands back there. Anyone else? Brother Payne, that's me. Please pray for me. God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Brother Payne, pray for me. Come on, I know there's others. Don't be embarrassed. This is how you get help. God bless you, honey. I see you on the end over there. Anyone in this section here? I see your hand, darling, right back there in the middle. Is there someone else? Lift up your hands. We're going to pray. I see your hands back there. Amen. Now, if you're here this morning and you just need the Lord to touch you, you're maybe sick or maybe you just need a touch from the Lord. If you raised your hand, you can come. If you didn't raise your hand, you can come. I'm going to take about 2 or 3 minutes and that's all. But I want you to get out of your seat and come and just stand with me in this altar area. And we're going to pray together. And we're going to believe God that today things turned around. Come on. Come on, church. This is the Lord here wanting to touch people today. Brother, would you hand me the water right there? Would you hand me that water? I'm going to wait. Please, please be patient. If you can't stand for 2 or 3 minutes, be seated. But if you can, please stand with me. Because I'm going to ask some of you believers that love God to come and just stand in behind these that are here this morning. There's others that should be here that's not here, but God will touch you where you are. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Come on. See, we're not going to have this problem at the new church, Miss Pam. We're going to have room for everybody to come. Amen. But you can slide on up closer. Just come on up a couple of steps. I'm not going to spit on you. Praise God. Brother, the best is yet to come. God's about to do something. You hear what I'm saying to you? You've been through hell. You've been through a real battle. I sense that the moment you walked up here, God told me to tell you, it's breaking. The tide is turning. He's turning things around. He's turning things around. He's turning things around for you, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sir, let me tell you something. There's people that misrepresented you. There's people that came against you, people that you love, people that you trusted, people that you put a lot of confidence in, but they came against you, and it wounded you, and it hurt you. Am I telling you the truth? Am I telling you the truth? God said he's healing that, and he's turning it around, and not one weapon that they formed against you is going to prosper, and the tongues that lifted against you are going to cleave to their mouth. It's going to cleave to their mouth. Believers, just begin to pray in the spirit over these who are here. Just begin to, those of you that are in your seat, stretch your hand out right now. Stretch your hand out right now. Glory to God. Come on. Begin, just pray in the spirit. Come on, pray in the bashata. Sita dahala kurashapa. Nishita bahura basatanda dahala kutabasha. Sipala hasatamaha. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you that are here, just lift your hands. Just lift your hands. It's over today. God is turning things today. Just know that when you leave here, the best is yet to come. God is setting the stage for the turnaround, for the comeback. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Honey, there's a healing anointing flowing over you right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mama, there's a healing anointing flowing over you right now in the name of Jesus. Refreshing is coming to you from the Lord. You've been pushed down, pushed back, looked over, but God this morning is touching with fresh oil. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise. Come on, just give him some praise. Don't get in a hurry. God is here. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the Lord. God, I thank you today for the touch of your hand upon this precious child of God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Adam, I wonder if the singers could come back and we could just close the service by singing that last chorus that we did. Before you leave out of this altar area, before you leave out the back door, I want us to sing this chorus we were singing. Right, but can I tell you folks how much I love you and how much I appreciate you letting me scream at you for a while today? Man, next Sunday, the 30th, would be a great time for you to invite your friends that don't know Jesus out to the new property. They'll come out there where they maybe not come over here. But just invite them next Sunday to come to the new property. Let them see what God's about to do. Amen. And pray for Pastor Shane that God will really use him in Amarillo. Amen. Thank you for sowing him. As you sow him in other churches, you'll reap the benefits here in your church. Singers, could we do that? Our singers left. They were here for 9 o'clock. Okay. Well, we still got 2 or 3. So we'll do it. Y'all help us. Come on. Let's do this chorus. Not going to be dismissal. You're recessed. You're recessed until Wednesday. Okay. God bless you. God bless you. We love you. Love on somebody before you leave. Tell somebody it's just intermission. It's just intermission.